Rail fares have gone up by just under 5%. Lots of people, as you'd imagine, not happy about this new increase. Neil Middleton is a director of Rail Future here to tell us more. Morning, Neil.
Good morning.
What do you make then of a 5% increase?
Disappointed, I guess, has to be the right word. Because, yes, there's inflation and, you know, therefore some increase in rail fares is probably inevitable. But the service just isn't there. You know, particularly on the lines out of Paddington, the service has been truly atrocious recently. And it's one thing being asked to pay a little bit more for a service that is reliable and you can wake up, turn up, go to work or go into London for leisure or go to Reading for leisure. But it's an entirely different thing to be asked to be paid for the service that we're getting at the moment. And that's the disappointing thing about it. I mean, we were just been listening to the your travel news just before this session. And, you know, you can see from that the road isn't always an alternative. You know, big accident on the M4 today, another problem on the M3. So the ability for all of us to get around the countryside and our locality is just so important and for it to be reliable. And that's the big disappointment, that we're being asked to pay more for such an awful service.
Yeah, we covered this last week on the programme because we have had so many issues, whether it's been the landslides, the trees down. You know, we had those pictures of people having to walk along the track, all of the delays, the strikes as well that we were talking about. You know, there is lots going on in this area. We then had the unveiling of a rail plan. I don't know whether you heard all of that last week, of how they get things back on track. Did any of that reassure you and make you think, OK, well, there is a plan. There are going to be some changes.
I think it did to a degree, because I think that the big thing really is suddenly Network Rail, with the people that run all the infrastructure and have to sort out all those floods and landslides, they're recognising that there's an issue and that something needs to be done about it, and they've managed to find some money. So, yes, it is good. And it sounds nasty, but the chief executive of Network Rail at the tail end of last year, if you may remember, he got held up for hours and hours due to a falling down of the wires on a train out of Reading. And that, you know, it sounds very nasty to say it, but actually that's very pleased that happened, because it brings home to him and to senior management that there's a major issue they have to channel, they have to sort out. And it's not just for them alone, but it's to get the industry working together so that all the parts work together as a machine. The one thing he found was that there were lots of people doing their individual jobs correctly and well, but you add them all up together and it just turns into a disaster zone.
I don't think it's nasty to say that. I think it's good for them to experience the problems, isn't it? It just, as you say, it brings it home. Is there a point where, you know, it becomes too much for people, the rail fares, and, you know, you've got parking at the station and all of those things, and people, if the car isn't the alternative and driving in, what is it, people working from home? You know, how basically, I'm asking, is it going to play out ultimately, all of this?
Well, I think COVID brought a fundamental change to the railway, because before COVID, you know, most of us had to go to work most days of the week, and therefore, you know, the railway, you know, could provide an awful service, and we just had to grin and bear it. These days, you know, there's a vast portion of the workplace, not people like yourself, for instance, though. A vast portion of the workplace, people can choose how many days a week they work in the office, and so they work less. And, you know, you listen to the government saying things like it believes people need to be in the workplace to cooperate and work together and innovate and, you know, increase productivity. Then it sort of seems to set out to make sure that doesn't happen by providing a rail service, you know, particularly in a corridor like from Reading to Paddington, that people can't rely on. So people aren't going to take jobs in places like Canary Wharf, because certainly if they've got to go into the office a lot, because they'll say, hey, it's going to be a nightmare for me. So I'll do something different, and I'll work there, but I'll be less productive. And so you add it all up and it turns into something that's very bad for the country. And, you know, as we just see now, the M4 is not an alternative. And for most of us, we're still on petrol cars or diesel cars, so it adds to pollution, it adds to particulates from the exhaust, it adds a bit of rubber, so it's just not a good thing. You know, the railway can be there as so such an important part of an effective transport system to get us around, to get us to leisure, to get us to work, and to get us to things like life events, like hospital appointments. So it's just so disappointing that the service just doesn't allow that to be comfortable. You can't think, I need to be there at 11, I'll get the train that gets there at 10:50. You have to think, I'll get the train that gets there at 10:20. And that's the disappointing thing. And that's what where it's so annoying about paying increased fares. Because if you turn up at 10:50 for an 11 o'clock appointment, you understand it. If you've got to catch an earlier train and so on, then you don't understand it correctly.
And even then, you're keeping an eye on whether that's going to be delayed or cancelled and what your plan B is, isn't it? It's like, oh, do I have to start driving to Slough or wherever, parking at Westfield, definitely. Good to talk to you on that. Thank you very much for bringing us up to speed on that. That's Neil Middleton, Director of Rail Future Transport.